Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now when Jesus' disciples asked him what this parable meant, Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Dear disciples of Jesus Christ, to you it has been given, a supreme gift of God. You have been given the mighty word of God. God is gracious and recklessly sows his word all over this world. That includes you, the saving word of God, the word about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the living word revealed by prophets and apostles and evangelists under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That has been sown in you. The disciples of Jesus did not immediately understand this parable of the sower and the seeds. They received the word as we do, by grace, as a gift. This gift of the word is a mystery, that which can only be revealed by God to people. The disciples do not have perfect faith. They do not have perfect good works by which they somehow earn this gift of the word. Rather, Jesus gives his word to them as a gift. The parable makes the disciples hunger for the things of God, to hear more about and from the Lord, and to seek an explanation from Jesus. That's faith. They want more of this gift from God. That gift will bear great fruit. Today's parable is a warning. To you it has been given by God as a holy gift, this word of God. So there are those who would take it away from you. So we keep on hearing. Jesus will later say that whoever hears the word of God and does it are his mother and brothers, his family. What will the final fate be of the word of God in his family? What will sustain and keep saving faith in Christ despite the work of the devil in this world against you? I encourage each of you each day as Christians to be seeking the word of God in some way, great or small. As Luther writes in his catechism hymn, we are to pray and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you. Have mercy, Lord. Well, I've really taken to spending less time in the car traveling with music or other secular radio playing, and to make use of a Bluetooth device that broadcasts my iPod or iPhone podcasts through my car stereo. I'm finally getting with the 21st century. There are many confessional Lutheran biblical podcasts going out. For one, you can download each Sunday's sermon from us to review on our website. I've taken up Issues Etc. programming on the Small Catechism, where faithful pastors are interviewed for 30 or so minutes about a part of the Small Catechism. The host, Pastor Todd Wilkin, also interviews pastors and others on current events, cultural trends, pop culture, everything from reviewing current movies and television shows from a Lutheran perspective to our Lutheran journalist, Molly Hemingway, who analyzes the latest events in Washington. One pastor is interviewed each week about the upcoming Sunday readings called Looking Ahead to Sunday Morning. You can get a jump on what you're going to hear on Sunday. We have a page on our website with suggested podcasts. There are others listed there, like the three young LCMS pastors who delve into Lutheran theology on their podcast, A Word Fitly Spoken. They have a very easy, laid-back conversation style. Pastor Bill Whedon studies the Gospel of John a few verses a day in the Word of the Lord Grows podcast. You have many resources to faithfully feed you more of God's saving word to supplement what you receive here in the divine service. You also have your hymnal, your small catechism, and a host of devotion books like the Treasury of Daily Prayer. And all of these things are available as apps. You don't even need the book format if you don't want them. You can have it all at your fingertips. In addition, one of the best ways to get to know and meet your fellow Christians is to come be here for offered Bible classes on Sunday mornings and other days. In our Wednesday morning coffee break Bible study, we've been studying 1 Samuel, and we could always use a few more participants if you're available. Which brings up something we've seen from studying 1 Samuel. The people of Israel after the time of the judges were not good, at putting aside the work they do and listening to God's word. They had a corrupt high priest and priests. The tabernacle became a scandalous place. Eventually, the Israelites take the Ark of the Covenant from the most holy place and try to use it as a good luck charm in a battle against the Philistines. They are routed. They lose the Ark. The tabernacle worship instituted by God comes to a halt even after Israel gets the Ark back. No surprise, then, that Israel begs the prophet Samuel for an earthly king to lead them like other nations have when God is supposed to be their king. Now God agrees to give them what they want, to allow things to get really bad, to discipline his people. When God allows Saul from the tribe of Benjamin to be selected, they then have a king who does not know God's word, does not know the prophet Samuel, does not know or accept the gravity of the office God calls him to, and he spends quite a bit of time initially searching fruitlessly for his father's lost oxen rather than driving out the heathen Philistines from the promised land. The first 13 chapters of 1 Samuel have not been a happy history of Israel to study. The stories at times have been hard to read, and they bear this fruit, however, that eventually God is going to raise up a man after his own heart to be the king. David, the Bethlehem shepherd boy of the tribe of Judah, from whom the Savior of us all would descend. God is at work even in dark days, sowing his word to men who like it or like it not, a word that shall endure and stand when flowers and men and their oxen and other kings and other cares will be forgot. The great theme of the week of Sexagesima, 60 days to go towards Easter, is that the Lord, by the preaching and teaching of his word, is bringing forth that which he purposes, namely the righteousness of faith in those who hear and believe it. Saul and much of Israel did not believe, and they rejected the word, rejected the seed God planted in them. They cared more for the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They even cared more for oxen. They did not have ears to hear. They became hardened against God and his word, even enemies and despisers of it. But to those who hear the word of God and keep it and do it, who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord, for the faithful Samuels who are lowly voices planting God's word in a dark, rocky, thorny place, God raises up an unimaginable harvest. How could Samuel the prophet, one voice of the word of God and an Israel gone off the rails, ever have imagined that you would sit here today, 100 miracle harvest of all that God has said to us in his Holy Scripture? He could not imagine you sitting here today except by faith in the promise of a Savior and a new Israel who would follow that Savior. There is a reason that we do not call Jesus' parable the parable of the four different soils. To do so would distract us, for we would naturally want to look at our own hearts and ask, well, what kind of soil am I? Any answer we give would be wrong. I am good soil. To say that is presumptive and ignores your sinful condition, the sinful flesh that clings to you. If you say, I am rocky, hard, or thorny soil, you are judging the sower to be a foolish and mistaken man in his sowing. Rather, the parable is descriptive of how the divine word is attacked and choked out in us, the real danger that we Christians face, like it was attacked and choked out of Saul and the people of ancient Israel, like it was attacked and choked out of the people who even listened to Jesus himself in his day, the Pharisees and others who actively worked to see the Son of Man tortured, wrongly tried, and crucified. Or even we think of Judas, a disciple of our Lord who betrayed him, like it is attacked and choked out of so many today, people who give in on the cultural evils of this day so easily, even though they know what God's word clearly says. It's attacked in the hearts of people who are not here right now, when they should be and could be here. And they need to be here to receive the forgiveness and comfort Christ wants to give them and give them so freely. Be on your guard. Dangers of the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh are hostile.